That's right.
A Bowie knife.
I'll be standing in a tree.
Bowie knife's too easy. Spear. You got to use a smaller knife.
Like Swiss Army.
There you go.
I'm working my way backwards, you know, spear first.
There you
and
go.
Then spear the knife. First.
Then knife.
I don't even think that's legal, unfortunately. That would be pretty legendary.
Listening to the Muzzleloaders Podcast, the show where we talk about anything and everything black powder.
How's it going, everybody? It's Darren with Muzzleloaders.com, and today we are back with the Muzzleloaders Podcast, and Hunter and I just got done recording a podcast, and now, hear me out here, it was the longest podcast we've ever recorded, and now we're recording a podcast with the most guests we've ever had at one time.
Record-breaking season.
This is like... we are breaking ground here on this on the podcast today. So just introductions. So this is Chance. Chance works in customer service. Say
Chance
hi, Chance.
The man.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Chance, because we haven't had introductions with you yet. So
yeah, I've been working here at muzzleloaders.com for almost a year now. Spent some time in the warehouse. In the past 8 months, I've been in the customer service office.
Nice.
Just expanding my knowledge on muzzleloaders. So that's been really fun, and getting set up, getting ready for a hunt late season in November this year in Oregon. So excited for that.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you on here, Chance. And obviously Nate and Hunter have been on the podcast for many times.
Old hats. We're boring.
Not exciting.
Nobody cares.
I don't know if there is or not.
Don't push
there
the button.
Don't touch
there
the button.
Don't
there's
do button. It.
There's a button for that.
So today, like Chance just said, we're going to be talking about hunting. So last year after muzzleloader season, Nate and I did a postseason show, which we will do again this year as well. But we also figured it'd be cool if we did a preseason show just to talk about some of the things we're doing to get prepped, some of the guns we're going to be using, what tags everybody has, and, help correlate that just so we're not talking about ourselves only. To what? How we can help you maybe get prepped for
help
muzzleloader
us hunting. To that's, help you.
That's right. Help us help you.
But seriously,
yes.
We do care.
We do. Yeah, absolutely. You know, no one ever accused us of not caring. So let's go ahead and just start out right off the top. Let's start with Nate. So what hunts do you have? And we'll go around the table.
Well, currently I'm in the middle of an archery season hunt, but that doesn't have anything to do with this.
Talk about all your hunts. Talk about all the hunts you got going on.
We spent last weekend... hunting deer, trying to get my brother a deer. He's never shot a deer with his bow in his life, so we chased deer all over the mountain. It was epic.
Nice.
I think we saw upwards of 30 bucks in 2 days, put on 25 miles-ish.
Was it a 20 and a 10, or was it three 10s, a bunch of 5s?
It was like...
You said you saw it at 30 bucks, so I wasn't sure, how that was.
I thought that was a gallon of gas he was talking about.
Yeah, that's right. One gallon of gas.
Bad jokes.
No, don't do it.
I just do it by mouth.
That's better.
Yeah.
It's more fun.
Yeah, we camped out. It was a great time. Took the family and the RV up and hung out next to the river, and the kids and wife went hiking every day, and
nice.
Had a ton of fun. Yeah, I haven't gone out and hunted for elk yet, but I have a elk archery tag that I hopefully will get out this weekend for and go find some Rocky Mountain elk.
Nice.
Woo-woo. So that'll be fun. And then muzzleloader, I've got a Union County muzzleloader tag, same as, I think all three of us have it, right?
I don't have
spoiler
that tag.
Spoiler alert.
I said all three?
Spoiler alert.
Spoil. He already said it.
I want to tell them what hunts I have.
Oh, sorry.
Just really took
I
the wind
have
out of
a muzzleloader tag
there.
That is totally different than everyone else's at this table, but very similar in every way.
So, and you have Idaho State too. You're going to Idaho, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Man, forgot that one. That's a fun one.
That's a rifle or a muzzleloader?
That's a center fire rifle in November as well.
You guys didn't draw the elk tag this year in Idaho,
no,
did you?
No. That was a bummer. We did put in for a muzzleloader Idaho tag that's in September that would have been amazing.
Yeah. I guess I would have heard about it by now if you'd drawn.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of skipping
like,
into the office.
Clear your schedule because you're coming.
We're going to film it.
Yeah. Hunter. What hunts do you have coming up?
Yeah, I just have just the one. So I just actually picked up, it's a new hunt that they've added this year. It's Catherine Creek cow elk muzzleloader tag.
Nice.
And I forgot to put in for the draw this year. And I just happened to get online, and that was a leftover tag. And I was like,
there you go.
Great. I know where a lot of cow elk are in the Catherine Creek unit, so I'm going to get that one.
That sounds good.
Fill the freezer. Oh, that's yeah. right. Well, it's a whole lot cheaper than buying half a cow,
yes.
a beef cow, which yeah. is what I usually do. So yeah. that would be ideal. We'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, if you're a successful hunter, not only do you get better meat, but it's also cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Because like, you're going to be hunting anyway.
It's like $100 so. Bucks instead of like $1,500.
Are you saying so. That hunter's not successful?
No, no, no. I'm just saying, you know, if one is successful.
Well, he's right.
if Hunter is a successful hunter.
Come on, dude. Come on. The bad jokes have to be worse than that.
Hey, well, you know,
that was too high IQ.
He gets dad jokes. He's a dad. That's right. fine.
It's true. It's good. True. Chance, what you got coming up?
Yeah, so I have a centerfire rifle buck tag coming up in October, and then I have the same hunt as Hunter does.
Yeah.
For the November cow only tag for Catherine Creek.
You have a centerfire buck tag? What unit is that in?
It is for Catherine Creek as well.
Oh, okay.
So
good tag.
Preseason scouting out there, getting deer, find the elk.
That's right.
We're cooking.
Exactly.
Have you been practicing a lot with your rifle? You know what rifle you're going to use for that hunt?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm taking out my grandpa's 303 British for my, for my tag. I've used that, killed deer and elk with it, and doing a little bit of bear hunting too. I have a bear tag. So been going out last few weekends, me and my dad scouting and trying to spot a black bear, but hasn't happened yet. So
fall black bear is so difficult.
Ugh, it's the worst. Yeah. So it's the worst kind of hunting.
How many times can you say the worst?
It's just one
describing
the
something
worst.
So bad.
It's the worst.
Yeah, fall black bear hunting is just a miserable affair.
Just a miserable
it's
affair.
Awful.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really good sales pitch right there. So.
Yeah. Spring black bear hunting, probably my favorite kind of hunting ever.
So fun.
Fall black bear hunting, awful. Probably the worst kind of hunting. Just terrible.
I've never tried
it.
Yeah. And the hides are gorgeous. If you're going to mount one, that's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is, I've never tried calling.
I have.
For a black bear in the fall. So yeah, I know it works in the spring.
They're just, this is impossible to pinpoint them, you know, because they could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like such a massive home range. Like, you know, I was listening to, I think it was a Bear Grease podcast or something like that. He was talking about like bears have like 100-mile home range. It's like,
yeah,
how are you going to pin down a bear?
Yeah.
Like, you're just not, you know. In the springtime, it's like find the green, you find the bears. But in the fall, you know,
wherever there's green, there'll be bears.
And there's
spring.
Green everywhere in the fall.
Yeah. So. Whatever, you know, just forget about it.
Let's go find a huckleberry patch and hang out. That's how you do that.
Yeah. If you got that kind of patience.
Yep.
You got to camp a while.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you got huckleberries, so you got good eats while you're there.
That's kind of what I did the other day when I was bear hunting. The day I decided to just call it quits for the season because it was just miserable. But I found a whole bunch of huckleberries, and I just ate them and picked a whole hat full of them. And it's like, well, at least I didn't go home empty-handed.
Consolation prize.
Exactly.
I'll be a huckleberry.
Tombstone. Okay. So, my hunt. So I have muzzleloader deer and same one as Nate. And then I have a rifle elk tag for the Malheur unit over in kind of central eastern Oregon. So Nate was giving me a hard time about not archery hunting this year. But you know what? I'm rifle hunting this year. So,
You just had so much fun with rifles last year. I get it.
I did.
It's a blast.
It is a blast.
It's a lot of fun.
Started PRS 22 shooting and stuff. Yep. And
maybe we'll have to have a podcast about that sometime.
Maybe. Totally unrelated.
Totally unrelated. Different channel.
I don't think that's why people watch this one. we'll make a B channel for
that's right.
There you go. Nonsensical things we do.
Totally. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the setups we're going to be using, because, you know, it's, you know, people hear us talk about in customer service and all that kind of stuff, like, what we recommend, but we also want to share like what we actually use because that holds a lot of weight too. So basically the muzzle loaders are kind of still up in the air a little bit. We're likely going to be using some CVAs, probably the Acura lineup. Hunter said he wanted to use the Wolf, which is a great muzzleloader. There's a chance we'll be
it's
using
because he's
some
hungry.
Hungry like the Wolf.
Oh!
That was a good one.
Yeah. And the howl at the end there and everything.
That's right. I know, it's perfect. there's a chance we'll use. I feel like whenever
there's a chance.
Whenever.
There's a chance. Whenever we get Nate on here.
Whenever Nate's on the podcast, I feel like a mom. Like, I'm just trying to, like, wrangle a toddler.
Rein it in.
And Nate can do what he wants. He's the boss.
I know. Nate's the boss. So it's
he gets to do what he wants.
I can only do so much.
Go ahead and comment below if you like or hate the Nate Savage comments.
I'm not sure you want to open yourself up for that sort of criticism. Okay, you'll get criticism. Some honest feedback.
Yeah, that's good.
Hopefully
that's
it's good.
If it's not, then we'll knock it off.
That's true. Yeah. Results. That's all that matters.
That's right.
Results.
So the muzzleloader is still up in the air. We could be using some traditions. I don't have all that ironed out yet because there's so many of us with hunts this year. We got to kind of pile all our resources so we know what we're going to be using. Basically powder bullet, percussion cap combinations, I think it's safe to say we're all going to be using the same stuff there. We're probably all going to use Pyrodex Select. We're probably all going to use Thor's. And we're probably all going to use...
I'm not using Pyrodex.
You're not? You're going to use 777?
100%.
Perfect. There's an outlier. I'm going to use Pyrodex Select.
Yep.
Because I really like it. It has good velocities. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can't argue with 777 either. It's a good powder. So
I've just had my best groups with a Thor Pyrodex Select combination. So
yep. Yeah, we'll see how all these guns shoot. 90 grains is kind of my starting point with, if I'm starting out from scratch. You know, sometimes I change a little bit from there, but I've had good accuracy with that. We'll be using the Williams Western Precision sights, which I just pulled some. They're right over there, so they're all ready to go. And so just kind of getting everything lined out and ready to go for our hunting seasons this year because I can't wait. I try to hunt year-round, but there's still nothing like, the fall big game hunting season.
Fall hunts are the best hunts.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Like, I love coyote hunting. Had some good coyote hunting this year. Shed hunting. I love that. But there's just nothing like hunting elk and hunting deer,
Crisp, if negative 4-degree day, snow on the ground, elk in the air.
Yes. If you're impatient like myself, fall hunting is the only way to go because I cannot stand sitting around in a tree stand or just sitting. I can't stand sitting.
Yeah.
I need to be moving all the time.
You're correct. You cannot stand sitting.
You're right. Oh, man.
I'd like to see that.
Totally.
That'd be difficult.
I bet I could do it.
Nate can do anything. He puts his mind to it.
That's true.
Nate and I have this weird dynamic where both of us will kill stuff. But whenever we hunt together, we never kill anything.
We never see a thing.
You should probably stop hunting together.
No. It's like no. But we have such a good time.
I know. That's probably why we don't kill anything.
You're just gabbing laughing the whole time. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Guffaws of laughter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of uncanny. It's like I'll kill a coyote and I'm like, okay, I know exactly where they are. I know how they're responding right now. We'll go out and then we won't even see one.
That's just cool. Hunting though.
Yeah.
It's sure. Like, that sure. is... Yeah. It's just, it's like
unrelated.
You will only find deer in elk season. And you only find elk in deer season. Like it's just a rule. It's totally how it works. You gotta, you gotta work for it if you really want to get something.
I don't know. That last day we went out, we saw deer.
Last
the muzzle loaders.
Yeah, but then that was like then we got punished for seeing deer.
It was a disaster. It was a disaster.
Listen to the wrap-ups of the show from last. Hopefully this season's wrap-up show will have a little bit more good news.
Yeah. And for all of you that didn't watch the last one, I did not fill a single tag last year.
You didn't fill any?
That's none. Like I had four tags.
The most un-Nate Savage thing I've ever
that's
heard.
That's never happened to me in my entire life.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of par for the course for me, but not for you. Hey, maybe that's a good omen. Maybe I'm going to fill my tag this year.
Yeah. I hope I fill mine too. Hopefully it was a one-off.
That's right.
I feel like the weather this year has been particularly favorable too because it's been really cold really early.
Oh, yeah.
So I think
I'm hoping
that,
to dump snow up high, keep them down lower, because, gosh, getting up in the high country is brutal.
Or even going up in the high country and hunting in snow. I mean, I'm a little more...
You're a little tougher than the rest
I like,
of us.
I like to... what's the term? Glutton for punishment.
It's not very fun to hike through 4 feet of snow when it's blowing and cold as all get out.
I don't know. Yeah. I love chasing elk in 4 feet of snow and just a miserable grind. Oh,
I got snowshoes and I still don't like doing that.
Maybe not 4 feet, like 2 feet.
Yeah, 2 feet maybe. Four feet's
brutal.
It's just a lot more work. It's exhausting to do that.
Like that time we went 100 yards
to that coyote
stand.
But the only time I ever hunted four feet of snow, that was like waist deep
that
snow.
That was chest deep.
You're like literally like climbing through
and
the snow.
And then swimming through the snow.
Sinking. Yeah. That was miserable.
Brutal.
That is miserable.
I like about cold. 6 inches. Like a good 6-inch snow.
Just a crisp, crusty layer that you can get good purchase on with your shoes. Yep.
Yeah.
Not too crisp.
Yeah.
It sucks when it's crisp. Yeah.
Yep. Good luck.
The whole time.
Yeah, the fresh powder. Last year during muzzleloader deer season, there was a really weird, it had snowed before season, and I was like, sweet, the rut's going to be on. Mm-hmm. But then the rut was super, mediocre.
Yeah.
But it left behind really crunchy, nasty snow. It was kind of miserable all around. But this year, I think they pushed all the seasons back a week,
yep,
which will help. So the rut, better we're going to be more in the rut, I think, for the muzzleloader deer mm-hmm. hunt. And it's going to be colder. It's going to be just, I think, better overall to have it later like this. So,
and any of you that hunt whitetail out there, if you try to, trying to sneak in on a whitetail in crunchy snow is impossible.
Yeah. We saw deer pretty much every day last season, but it just, you couldn't get within 150 yards of them. Nope. And usually when you saw them,
and you were shooting a flintlock for that one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Yeah. That was crazy. It was crazy. It was a lot of fun, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't think any of us are using traditionals this year.
Heck no.
No, we want to fill the tags this year.
The freezer's too empty.
I got that out of my system. It's always been a dream of mine to kill an elk with a longbow, which will still probably happen at some point because we're on a draw system now in Oregon. Yeah. So inevitably I won't draw my first choice and I'll get traditional longbow, second choice or third choice or whatever. But I think I kind of got it out of my system that I really don't have a desire now to kill an animal with a flintlock. It mm-hmm. was, I made the perfect shot on that deer last year, or what I consider to be a perfect shot with any weapon.
Yeah.
Bow, centerfire, and never recovered it. So yeah, I think I got that out of my system.
Which one are you talking about?
The buck.
Which buck? The one you shot in Idaho or the one you shot?
No, in with the muzzleloader, with the flintlock.
Oh, okay, got it. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure which one you were referring to.
Both of them were perfect shots. I don't know what happened.
Seems like perfect shots would have correlated to filled tags. Yeah, but
you would think.
Yeah, totally.
I could see it with the round ball.
Yeah,
yeah.
Rifle, I don't know what's going on there.
I don't
know. I don't think that was as perfect as maybe you thought.
Oh, I had two eyes on it, so my dad saw it too.
Yeah. But Verlin's old.
That's true.
Wow.
Verlin's old.
That one hurt my pride a lot.
He is in way better shape than all of us. The dude is just built like a mountain.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think there's a lot of things that are going to bode well for hunting season this year.
It's going to be fun.
Yep.
It's going to be a legendary time.
Yeah, we actually heard a lot of elk bugling when we were out deer hunting this weekend, which is insane for opening weekend, but it is a week later. Yep. But even so, in the past 5 years, seems like they haven't started bugling till the third week of season.
Yeah.
And I was hearing them out in Cove, the week before. They were up on the hill. They were mm-hmm. ripping off already. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, they're getting going really early. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that cool weather.
Yep.
Yeah. It's pushing them in. I love it.
It's going to be a good year.
My dad called me today. He's on the face of the mountain right now. And he's like, there's nothing out here. I'm like, I know. I don't know why you're there.
Hey, he went over the hill.
He's like, I didn't even see an animal. I was like, yeah, I know. Why are you on the face? I don't understand. Yeah. You just trying to get your hike in today?
Drop off the backside of that. You'll find
him. Oh, yeah. Well, then it's a long ways out.
I don't hunt down there because I don't like to hike down there. If I had a horse, maybe, that's a long way down in there.
That's usually where I hunt. The other side.
I know. Your glutton for punishment is previously established.
At some of those hikes, though, on the way out, when you actually kill an animal in those deep holes, sometimes you think to yourself,
steak.
What have I done? But then you do it year after year after year.
Yep.
Even though it sucks, the reward is
when
worth it.
When you're done, it's good.
Yes.
It's just in the middle of it,
in
it's
the
worst.
In the midst of it, it is horrible.
Chance, you have any legendary hunting stories to participate in?
Not right now. No, we'll just keep it rolling.
Shot a tree squirrel last week.
All right, so let's go ahead and we can move on. We talked about the stuff, the setup. We talked about season stuff like that. Let's talk about what we're doing to get prepared, because I think this is going to be stuff that more applies to our listeners. And
I was prepared.
Oh my gosh, this is why we get nothing done around here. Seriously. I work in the same office with him. It's a hoot.
Yeah.
But we do actually get a lot done.
Yeah. In between the jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're solving all the world problems. Hello.
Exactly.
In joke form.
Humor is the solution to most of the world's
problems.
That's
true. If you can laugh at yourself, you fix 99% of the problems right there.
Yeah. Keep it light. Get too serious, and then you really don't get anything done. So.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly. So I think I had, what is it, five different things here that I highlighted for things that we can, that we, or at least myself, is doing to, you know, get prepared for season. The first one is practice. So Chance and I are going to record a podcast after this, but he and I just went to a rendezvous. So that, you know, obviously excellent practice. We shot, I don't know how, I mean, at least 50 shots probably through each of us through a muzzleloader that day. And, just, you know, getting the feel down of just loading, you know, getting that, just getting in the groove. I feel like when you get into muzzle loading and you're doing it a bunch, you kind of get into this groove where it's just, okay, yep, this is what I'm doing. I'm in the groove. I'm doing it. Of course, I did dry ball at the stinking rendezvous. No. So
again,
I got too, well, I was a little stressed out because we were at the Silhouette station, and we were having some malfunctions and everybody's waiting on us. And so I'm like, well, I'm just trying to get loaded up. And then I just, like, oh my goodness, as soon as I did it, I knew it too. I like used the bullet starter and I was like, there's no powder in here. I was like oh my goodness,
no.
So but it's, you know, it's a pretty quick fix. It's just embarrassing,
especially
so.
At that point, at least
pretty a bad showing for the muzzleloaders.com team, but oh well. So practice, you know, what are you guys doing, you know, getting practiced, anything like that?
So far, I haven't done a whole lot. I'll be honest.
Just resting on your current years of experience.
Oh, yes. That's a good plan.
Resting on your laurels.
Well, no. I mean, I just need to brush up on my open sight shooting. I mean, I do a lot of other shooting. So I do yeah. a bit of open sight shooting as well with different guns. But shotguns are a lot easier to open sight shoot with precisely.
Yeah, precisely.
than a single shot muzzleloader. So
totally.
That's on my list of things to do. That's September's activities, probably yeah. October too. I like to brush up as close to season as I can just so it's fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think shooting of all kinds, like Nate has done long range shooting for a long time and he just got me into rimfire shooting. So I bought a 22 rimfire. And I think what I've found to be most, and Nate's been telling me this for a long time, I just finally listened to him, but what I found to be most impactful about that is your, even though you're not shooting a muzzleloader in those competitions, you're practicing shooting from uncomfortable positions under pressure. And that is like the key. Number one thing that messes people up in hunting is they have it, this picture in their mind of what it's going to be like when they shoot an animal. And it is never it's always like this just panicked moment where nothing's the way you want it. And it's just learning to calm down. Yep. Okay. I'm going to have to shoot from this weird angle. And I'm under, my heart's up. And so doing those competitions really kind of teaches you how to do that and how it teaches you to kind of take a step back and think about what you're doing instead
think
of
under
reacting
pressure.
On instinct, you know?
Yep. And you're more consistent in real life.
And just trigger time in general. I mean, you know, even though it's not a muzzleloader, you're shooting over and over and over and over again. And that just that trigger pull and the trigger squeeze and the repetition of how you do that without jerking the trigger and you know, all those things come into play, especially with the muzzleloader.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, and the more honed you can get on all that stuff, the better off you're gonna be. So Chance, what about you, man?
Yeah, I would say last week getting out to the range with you and just getting some shots in on the, you know, I was using a Gemmerhawken, but still just getting used to shooting with the open sights was really good. And I'm not planning on using that muzzleloader, hopefully an inline one this year. So just getting used to the open sights, getting used to kind of ranging stuff out with my eyes in case, you know, can't pull the rangefinder up or something like that. How far you need to hold over stuff, cover stuff up, that sort of thing. Has been really, I think, pivotal so far. And then also just going out and scouting, even for my deer hunt, is what I've been doing. But just keeping an eye out for elk too, and I think just understanding that these hunts are going to be in two different times of the year. For deer, you're going to be the beginning of October. That elk hunt starts the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and
late
then,
November, yeah.
So and then it goes all the way into December. So it's going to be, you're going to be hunting in two different times of the year. Understand and trying to just figure out what the elk are going to be doing. Hopefully, it snows. Pushes them down a little bit lower, so not having to, you know, do any death hikes or anything up in the mountains or anything, make it a little bit easier. But yeah, and then I've also been trying to exercise, carrying my pack around work a little bit and putting some weight in it and all that stuff and staying hydrated.
Chance has been kind of a Savage. He's been like at the stand-up desk with his pack on with weight in there.
So yeah, like, I saw that the other day. I didn't make him an honorary one. My goodness. Chance isn't the right name. Chad would be the right name.
Chad. Chancy Chad, yeah. So, yeah, and I think that's a good point. Like, getting out and scouting. I'm personally not a huge scouter.
Nope.
But I do think it's important, especially if you're unfamiliar with an area. With this deer season in particular, like, I have areas that I'm – like, I have, like, a handful of areas where I'm like, there's deer in these areas. And it's just about getting in there and getting to them and finding
covering
them.
Ground.
No.
Yep. And so it's like
Nate I scout from a map. Scouting.
You scout. Oh, and I e-scout. That's a good point. Yeah.
I do a lot of that.
I don't believe in scouting.
Yeah, I think scouting.
Why? What's your philosophy on that?
I've done it in the past, and from years of experience, it's just the animals will be there at different times of the year.
Yep.
If you're scouting too early, you know, I've scouted places where I found tons of animals. Go back there during season. Didn't see a thing.
Yep.
And the opposite. I've had that exact opposite happen too. Go in and scout a spot and there's nothing there. And for some reason, I just ended up there during hunting season and there's animals everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess then maybe that's the thing. Cause when somebody says scouting, to me, that's like days before the actual hunt. That's how I do that. I don't waste my time.
Well, then you risk you could push them out too.
Yep.
You could. But you don't have to do that. You stay very distant. I mean, I use optics primarily. You know, it's like, okay, find a nice knoll that's got a great view of the bull I want to hunt, you know, and I wait there and see if anything comes through. And if not, move on to the next ridge, you know.
Totally.
You don't go into it.
That's probably what I'm doing wrong because, like I said before, I don't have a lot of patience. I'll look at a place and I'm like, yep, all right, I'm going to go through that entire place, grid it left and right, up and down, go over the next two ridges and grid
it's
those.
Nice to know the terrain layout, but at the end of the day, again, you don't want to push them out of the area if they're hanging out in there, especially days before the season's about to open. It's like you can deal with the terrain as it comes, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think that with muzzleloading in particular, any season where you're going to be using something that makes noise, archery is probably less of a problem, but it's still an issue because you're pushing around with calls and stuff like that. But like rifle season or muzzleloader season, I think, you know, scouting is if you know where they are, be there on opening day, you know, because it's like scouting, you should know where they are already, you know, whether it's from past years of experience or whatever it ends up being. Like, basically, I just kind of know at a certain time of the year that a white tail are going to be in certain areas, and it's just, I'm going to show up there and I'm going to find them, and it's just about trying to kill one.
Yep.
But you have scouted because you've hunted there.
Yes.
And so that's the thing, it's you're using past knowledge and understanding of the terrain and animal movements. So that is scouting.
And
right?
I think that's kind of, I would differentiate it because it's tough to scout because, like Nate said, different time. Like I found bears in June that were nowhere to be seen in August. And so it's like, just because they're there at one point in time doesn't mean they're going to be there at another point in time. And I personally, especially with muzzleloader hunting, a lot of the places I hunt at least are not glassable areas. Mm-hmm. So most of my experience with like finding where animals are for muzzleloader season has come from past years of hunting. Yeah. So I just figure the more I hunt these areas, the more I'm going to get like that pre-scouting figured out already. And so I do a lot of that, like, and also I want to finish kind of what I was talking about with going out opening day. I think that if you're hunting a season where loud weapons are used, opening day is like prime, because as soon as the guns start going off, like,
they're gone.
The one time I was able to get like close enough to a whitetail to like shoot it was opening day. And because they weren't necessarily like
freaked
out
going on
by people being around, they were like kind of just like, oh, it's another dude. But as soon as those guns start going off, I mean, everything just pipes down and gets super skittish. So
sure. I do want to speak to that a little bit too. I mean, because you're using a loud weapon, you know, we had an area where we hunted for, just quick side story, sorry, where we've hunted for years and years and years and years, and every time you go in there with a gun, it's just like there's nothing there. You know, it's a place we were this weekend, there's, you know, $30 in 2 days. Just insane. Opening day of rifle season, everybody shoots, and then the rest of the rifle season, there's not a deer to be found.
You don't see one.
Well, we found where they're going, and nobody's going to go down there to get a deer.
Yeah.
They go onto private land.
It's a hole. Well, where we are, there's no private land. But yes, that is a definite
possibility if you're hunting close to private land, which most people with muzzleloader tags probably are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this place specifically is just literally the deepest hole in the entire mountain. And
yeah,
most people are not going to go down there.
It's not
there for a 200 inch buck, but
yeah.
Most people but wouldn't.
Nate's a special kind of person.
Yeah, and that's kind of
crazy.
Yeah. You have to understand, like, for me, it's like my I always gauge this of like, if I knew 100% I could kill something, would I do this thing? That's usually like my gauge. Mm-hmm. And then it's like I weigh that against what are the odds that I actually do kill something, you know? Because it's like if the answer is yes, then it's like, okay, then that's definitely something I would do. And then it's like, is there a 60, 50, reality is probably more like a 30 or a 20% chance that I kill something. Like,
that's pretty good.
I feel like that's pretty decent, you know, most of the time for individual hunts, you know, it's like, if there's a 20% chance I'm going to kill something going through this area, it's worth going through that area. You know, there are times where I'm just like wandering aimlessly. I'm like, what am I doing here? This is dumb. I'm going somewhere else. Like, there's like a 2% chance.
Why am I wandering around my backyard? There's not going to be a deer back here.
Why am I sitting on my couch?
There's a ton of deer in the backyard. That's the problem. You can't shoot them there. They're all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where we live, go back to the mountains.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, to touch on something Chance mentioned as well, exercising has been kind of high on my priority list.
Well, let me
list.
Go back to practice first.
Jeez, oh, you're still
didn't
on practice?
I didn't get to speak to practice.
That's right. We just moved. This is what happens when we have so many people on the podcast.
We went straight to scouting. The only thing I wanted to say on practice real quick was just I don't, you know, obviously I shoot year-round, so that's practice in itself. I have an archery tag now, so October will be my practice time. I'll try to get at least 100 rounds downrange before November with the muzzleloader I'm going to be using, so...
Muzzleloader.
100
rounds downrange. That's pretty ambitious.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I would like to get about 100 rounds because that gives me good time to zero, figure out what the rifle's going to do, how it's going to pattern, where my zero's at for good just knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to get at least 20 shots for a zero to get 100% sure that that's where it's going to be zeroed at.
Yep.
And then I like to go out to a 100, 200, 300. Probably not 300.
300 would be a long ways.
But 200
with an open sight.
With an open sight, yeah. 200.
Check the wind.
Yeah, I think 200 is pretty attainable with the WPS, especially if like...
You think so?
Man, oh, yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's a stretch. That's tough.
Oh, no. I feel like it's pretty attainable.
With what we've done at the ranges.
I can't see that far personally, so...
Well, yeah, that definitely comes into play.
I can't see a darn thing at 200 yards with open sights.
That definitely comes into play.
The animal's like this big. It's like, where am I supposed to hold on that? The whole thing?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, man,
true.
I think so. It's a long shot.
I shot a deer quite a few years ago in Wallowa County with a 54 caliber Thompson Center with complete open sights, no WPS or anything like that.
Still buckhorn sight.
Oh, yeah. That's a long shot.
Yep, 100 yards.
Oh, man.
And it was insane. That was a cool shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like 100 yards is a kind of a stretch for like
with a round ball.
Yeah. With a round ball, it's kind of a stretch. Like, I feel like you could be decently accurate at that distance, but it's just tough with the setup that you like, the open sight setup that you have on most of those guns to be precise.
Well, and I practice with that all the time. So, I mean, I was very confident. I had at least 200 rounds with that rifle at that point.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. Yeah. The more you practice, I was really impressed. Chance and I will talk about this more on our next podcast, but that 58 caliber that I have, I was blown away how accurate it was. It was like,
nice.
It was super accurate.
Great.
So,
builds a little confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. I would hunt with that one this year, but you know, I want to make sure that I have my best chance of, I don't want to be as arrogant as I was last year.
Yeah.
I feel like my decision to hunt with a flintlock last year was purely born of arrogance. And then, and then the Lord just like decided, hey, we're just going to humble you and you're just not going to kill anything. And I'm going to make it like just everything is going to go wrong so that you know that you're not in as much control as you think you are. And so that's what happened. So this year.
I was not overconfident. I was just like, it's a passion of mine to try to take everything down to its most basic level and be successful.
Totally. And that's...
I expect to see you out there with a knife this year then.
That's right.
A Bowie knife.
I'll be standing in a tree.
Bowie knife's too easy. Spear. You got to use a smaller knife.
Like Swiss Army.
There you go.
I'm working way backwards, you know, spear first.
There you go.
Spear first.
Then knife.
I don't even think that's legal, unfortunately. That would be pretty legendary.
That would.
Yeah, they do it all over the place. I don't think it's legal in Oregon.
Not in Oregon, you can't. Yeah. I have seen it in other states, yeah.
You could do it during any legal weapon season, the rifle season.
Yeah.
That would be like impossible. I'm not sure
spear is classified as a legal weapon, though.
Oh, is it not?
You can't use like crossbows. I don't think you can use spears.
Yeah. Oh, you can't use crossbows?
Nope. No, those are just completely non-legal in Oregon.
Wow. Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Yep. Learn something new every day.
In Idaho, you can. You can do whatever.
Yeah.
Land, Idaho's a little more lenient.
Land of the free.
In America.
All right, gents. Back on track.
Sorry. Exercise. Let's move on to exercise.
Yeah, so exercise... I was doing some rucking for a while. I was doing Mountain Tough, and then I just talking to Nate's brother last night. He does First Form, so I think I'm going to switch over and start doing that. And then my wife and I are training for a marathon that we have coming up in October, so doing lots of running and stuff like that. So running is not the perfect. It's certainly not ideal for hunting training, at least in my opinion.
It's good for cardio.
I will say, yeah, for cardio and stamina.
Cardio and stamina, sure.
If you're just going to run a mile, that's not going to do much for you.
Totally.
But you run like a 5-miler, it's good for stamina for hunting because you need that stamina, especially if you're going into some of the places that we go.
It totally.
Definitely helps.
It's definitely a good baseline. Like, it's certainly like, if you're just going for like your base level cardio, running is the cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to like going up and down mountains, when it comes to doing all, I think that rucking has the advantage there because you're carrying weight, you're having to build more strength in your legs, whereas running is a very catabolic exercise. It breaks down your body.
Mm-hmm.
Rucking and other forms of strength training can't be neglected either because that puts muscle on your body that you need.
I agree and disagree. I mean, I think that you really get a lot of your lung capacity from running too. So
totally.
You might not get the hill climbing. And that's why I think that you need a lot of different types of workouts. You can't just run and be ready for hunting season.
Yeah.
And you can't just ruck and be ready for hunting season.
Yeah. I think we agree. What I'm saying.
You guys are going too hard at it. You know, I'd sit on the couch until hunting season. And
well, you know, there might be something to be said for that. You know what I do? As far as how many animals I've killed.
I throw on my backpack. That's true. But I enjoy mine.
That's true.
And I'm hating my life halfway through it usually.
Yeah.
I just go slow.
Yeah.
And I'll walk 100 yards, hang out, see if anything comes by. Nothing. Walk another 100, hang out. You know, you can cover a lot of ground in a day doing that. You don't have to do a marathon in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a different pace. And I think it's the biggest thing. Verlin told me this the other day because I was talking to him about like bear hunting and I was like, I want to go to this area and do this thing. And so I'm going to, and he's like, well, just make sure you have fun. That's the biggest thing.
That's right.
And I was like, and I realized like I have a tendency to get too like
intense.
And it's like, okay, I just need to calm down, relax, and just like remember that I'm actually out here to have an adventure.
That's why he goes hunting with me.
Yeah, that's right.
If you go big country hunting, you've got to do what these guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Because you will hate your life otherwise.
Yeah.
But
yep, for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I agree. Like if you're doing backcountry hunting and stuff, you do have to be in good shape. Like that's a requirement. But I will say, even for everyone, no matter what you're doing, and this is just beyond hunting. I'm not sure if anybody's noticed, but I didn't always exercise, and over the last couple of years I started exercising a lot. And
look at videos from two or 3 years ago.
Yeah. I've lost about 50 pounds. And just it makes every aspect of your life better. So I would recommend, even if you're not going to be doing a super physically intense hunt, if you're just sitting in a tree stand, you know, exercise 30 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be crazy. You can go for a walk, put a little weight on your back, 20 pounds, and you will notice a significant increase in just
Absolutely.
Your health and just overall wellness. So that's a little... you know, soapbox thing that I'll step down.
Darren
from
Binder now, so. Health tip.
That's right.
There you go. It's a new segment.
That's right.
You want that Twinkie? Have a carrot instead.
Oh, that's
a or better.
I love
eat
carrots.
The Twinkie and do 15 more minutes of exercise.
Ooh.
I'm not sure if that counteracts it, but that seems like it's good science.
Just about.
Don't quote me.
Hunter
on
science.
That.
It might
Hunter
take you
science.
Like 60
Redneck
years
science.
To digest
there you
that
go.
Twinkie. So.
All right, Nate. You were telling me you wanted to say something.
Oh, I was just gonna speak on the exercise point of things. You know, obviously I get very sidetracked with life and shoots and matches and traveling all over the place and work and kids, and so exercise is ridiculously difficult for me to schedule in. This time of year, you know, getting in shape for the muzzleloader season is kind of opening weekend of archery is kind of what I use as getting conditioned, you know. Yeah, yeah. I also, my daughter is in cross country, so I try to go on runs with her whenever I can. It helps her get motivated as well. So mm-hmm. I try to incorporate it into my everyday life. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are listening to this that are in the same boat. You just, life is so busy. It's totally hard to schedule time to work out. But
yeah. I bring my weights into the office. Nate's mm-hmm. seen it. I mean, it's like, hey, need to get up, take a 10-minute breather. It's like, hit the weights really quick. You know, it's like you work it in when you can. It doesn't have to be on one shot. It's better in one shot. But
totally. Well, like Chance with his backpack and stuff. Like, I think one of the things that's kind of lost on our society nowadays is the fact that, you know, back in the day, exercise was just your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You woke up, you went hunting, you did what you had to do, and you went home, you went to sleep. Like, nowadays, exercise is kind of confined to this little 1 hour period of our day when in reality you can and should do that, but you can also integrate exercise throughout your life. Like, if you're going to go somewhere, we live in a small town, so it takes me 5 minutes to drive there, it takes me 7 minutes to ride my bike, so it's like just ride my bike there, you know. And it's, there's all these little ways that you can minimize the time impact that exercise has and maximize the effect it has in your life. Mm-hmm. So
well, a lot of the blue collar workers, you know, who are listening to this, they don't have that problem because they're actually working hard physically all day, every day. When I used to do a blue collar job, I was in great shape.
Yeah.
You know, when I was well drilling, and that was, I felt amazing.
Yeah.
But sitting around all day working on the computer is, it's a lot harder on you than you would think.
Mentally. Yep. Totally.
Physically too. Physically, like, I felt like garbage for a while that I had to get, I was joking about sitting on the couch. I actually do have to do a bit of exercise. Like, you get weird, like, pains and stuff just like sitting around because everything gets tight, you know.
I'd say, like, I've suffered from more injuries from not exercising than I have from exercising.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if I ever take, you know, if I take some time off, my back will start to hurt and stuff like that. It's like, you know, keeping after it really keeps those aches and pains away.
Old injuries too, like as soon as you stop moving, like all those old injuries tighten back up, you know, and they hurt.
Totally. What about you, Chance? What exercises are you doing these days?
Yeah, I've just been, you know, taking my pack to work with me, and just the big thing for me from a cardio standpoint, I'm staying pretty decent shape year round. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to my kind of downfall is carrying around the extra weight with me.
Yeah.
Especially when you're out in the woods, you're not walking on a trail necessarily, you're having to side hill, go up hills and that sort of stuff. When you have that extra, you know, anywhere from 20 to 30, 40 pounds, whatever your style of hunting is. Mm-hmm. That is really what wears me down, is the extra weight that you're having to carry around. So that's kind of my main focal point this year, is getting used to carrying that extra weight around with me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just kind of doing my normal stuff. I coach middle school football, so running around with the kids at practice. I play a lot of pickleball and spike ball too, which is good for cardio, running around, that sort of stuff. And then on the weekends, I've been going out on, when I'm going out scouting and getting, you know, plenty of miles in, doing that stuff and getting used to carrying.
There's no substitute for being out in the mountains.
Well, that's what I was gonna say too. Like, we were kind of talking about all this, is like, if you can, I think probably the best thing you can do is throw on your pack and go out and just hike off trail.
Totally.
Because that you strengthen all your, like, your ankles, your feet muscles, like all those little muscles you don't normally use until you get out on uneven ground. Like, that's what trashes you super fast. I've noticed that too. Your legs are just shot because it's hitting all these weird and your muscles. Ankles. What's that?
And your ankles. Like, I'm glad you mentioned that, because your ankles
will wipe you out fast.
Sore. It's a sore subject for Nate.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, you know, I have a bum ankle like he does too, so I can relate to that, you know, and it's like that'll get hurting and throbbing, you know, if you're not in good shape.
I've had two massive sprains on my left ankle, and
I was there for one of them.
Toast.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so, it's not fun.
Yeah, and getting on that uneven ground is so good for your legs.
Yep. Well, and that, you know, I know you don't have gear on here, but I think it's a good thing to touch on as well.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that during the budget section.
But okay.
Yeah,
sounds good. We'll wait.
I think I guess on exercise, you know, I guess let's just talk about gear now, like, and we can kind of talk about budgeting, because I think that one of the things I oftentimes neglect to do is I neglect to set aside like an emergency budget. It's like, because if something breaks mid-season, which will happen inevitably, or something like that, fortunately working here, you know, it's not as big of a financial impact for the muzzleloader hunting type stuff, but you know, if you have like a shoe that goes down or you rip your pants or something like that, it's like having a little bit of money set aside to replace that gear is always important, because, you know, some of those things can be season ending. Like if you know, if you break something, it's like you don't have the money to pay for it. Well, your season's over.
Especially,
you know,
boots, because you gotta have boots.
Yep,
you gotta have good boots.
Yeah, if you're gonna be out on hills, you're gonna wreck your ankles really fast if you're running out there in shoes.
Yep.
You know?
I think most of us here run Crispies, and I highly recommend those as far as a boot choice. They're great. I mean, we have them on our website. They're awesome. We love them. It's crucial though to have good quality boots. There's a lot of good boots out there.
I think my 1-2 punch on that is, so I try to do as much, like I have these shoes that are basically like barefoot shoes, but they've got a base on them, so you don't puncture your foot. So I do as much in that as I can to strengthen your feet and ankles. And then I wear a boot that's a high ankle support boot when I'm actually out in it, is then your feet are strong, your ankles are strong, and you've got support. So you've got a really low chance of messing up your foot or your ankle, because if you have to hike 5 miles on a bum ankle, that is the worst. And I have done that a couple of times, and that sucks.
Well, it's the worst. And I know equipment is expensive, but man, after hunting years and years and years and years on a Walmart budget and just whatever I could get, you know, I kind of went from that to saving my pennies to get one piece of gear a year, you know, to where, and having that change the way I hunted. I mean, I've had a couple of near-death experiences, so I can speak from that.
Yeah. Nate's pack, before there's meat in it, weighs like 40 pounds.
It's like 45.
I carry a lot of stuff with me, too. Gotta have your medical gear.
And I'll tell you what, this weekend, I used almost everything in my pack when I was out. I mean, it rained. It was sunny. It was cold. It was hot. It was, had a little bit of everything. And so having different pieces of gear in my pack that I could put on, shed, sitting around in the afternoon when there's nothing to do and the animals aren't moving, having my jet boil and being able to have like a cup of top ramen or whatever,
get a little fuel in the tank,
or just warm up, you get that top ramen and you're drinking the hot broth and it warms you up from the inside.
So fancy with your jet boil. I just throw a thermos in my pack. Man, it's heavy though.
But jet boil is nice,
game changer.
Even I have a Walmart stove. It's not the same. It takes like 15 minutes. Nate's takes like 5. So it's much nicer to have an actual jet boil. But
and I'm gonna kind of use the gear and the hydrate here together. I am going to mention Sawyer filters as something that I would never go in the woods without. It's good for 1 million gallons of water. Usually I end up throwing them away because they get clogged before I go through 1 million gallons, obviously.
Yeah.
And just being able to have water anywhere you're at is
it's a nice comfort.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to suffer
especially
so much.
If you get lost.
Yeah. Well, then you don't die, but
GPS. I also have a GPS. You know, everybody's got a phone now that they use on
Onyx
or
old school.
Face maps.
I just use a paper map of the area. I mean, a topographical map. Yeah. That's how I was always taught to do it. I don't trust the electronic stuff. Yeah. They always die.
I do trust it.
I have two. So.
Yeah.
I do trust it. And eventually it's going to bite me in the butt. And, I'm going to be put to the test.
Well,
I use a literal compass and a paper map. I use like all three. I have a compass that sits right here all the time. So I look down at that all the time. So I know all my headings, where I'm at in relation to where I started and so on and so forth. I also use a GPS that I have, a Garmin GPS in my backpack, and I use base maps. So,
man,
I'm kind of tripled up.
Got it all.
Yeah. I've been lost twice.
It's really important to have an analog backup, I think, if you're going to use electric stuff.
Absolutely.
Know how to read a map. That will save your life.
Totally.
Yep.
Yep. So I think that's important, all of that stuff. The other thing I want to mention here, because I think it's perhaps one of the most neglected things in everyone's life, not even just in hunting, is hydration. You should be drinking. I drink about 120 ounces of water every day, and I feel like that's barely enough. And I think like a lot of people, like they drink 30 ounces, you know, and
or less. 160, the recommended, right? 8 8-ounce glasses, is that, or 60? What is that?
64. Yeah, 64.
And you're drinking 120.
Yep. So
well, you can overdo it too, you know.
You can. 120 is like, that's a, I mean, especially if you're going to be getting after it, you know, 120 is about right for me. 8 8-ounce glasses of water is good if you're not doing as much. Another thing you want to make sure you're doing too is not just drinking water, you're replacing those electrolytes and things that you lose.
So how do you do that?
So I use Element. So it's LMNT. That's, and I like to take those out in the woods too, if I'm going to be out for an extended period of time, because it has 1,000 milligrams of sodium. Now, please keep in mind, I'm not a doctor. I'm simply
medical disclaimer.
I'm simply a humble paramedic student, so I don't know everything about this stuff.
I just go out and lick a rock.
You still just find some cow lick.
Yeah, people leave these really nice salt blocks out there. The place, you know, they're fantastic.
Yeah,
just take a little, cut a little chunk off, lick it throughout the day.
Gosh, yeah, I will say like these electrolyte supplements. You know, you shouldn't take them if you have like heart conditions and stuff like that, because if you have too much salt, that can cause problems. But if you're getting after it, you're exercising, you know, you got to make sure you're replacing those things. So I use Element; it works good. If you're cramping up, you're probably low on sodium. Mm-hmm. If you're lightheaded, you're probably dehydrated in some way. You know, a lot of times people have these conditions, they're low energy, you're probably dehydrated. A lot of the problems that people face, you know, can be fixed with proper hydration. And that goes for the woods too. Like if you're low on energy, there's so many times, like when I was out the other day and it was like 85 degrees and I had like 60 pounds on my back, I was like, man, I just feel drained. And I was like, probably because I haven't drank anything, you know. It's like, yeah, I need to drink some water. And so I heard something the other day, but like just a small, if you're mildly dehydrated, that can cause a massive decrease in your energy levels. So staying properly hydrated is huge if you're trying to perform in the woods, you know. And I get that a lot of you listening to this probably don't care so much about this because
but Darren's passionate about it.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about it.
It's his podcast. He can do what he wants. So,
A lot of you probably aren't going to be doing this sort of like intense hunting mm-hmm. that we're talking about, but some of you are, you know, and even for those of you that aren't, you can still benefit from exercising, being properly hydrated, budgeting, like all these things we're talking about, you can still benefit from those. So,
well, and maybe you have an interest in doing it and you just wonder what it takes to do that. If you're going to come out west and hunt out here in the big mountains, you know, or go to Alaska or whatever, where there's even bigger mountains, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
What I do is I drink 8 ounces of water every day.
And Nate is barely alive.
You do not.
Dude.
You drink 8 ounces of water every day?
Okay, but less, you look probably at him when he comes home from hunting season and he looks like a ghost. So I wouldn't recommend doing that.
8 ounces.
Or like if I'm hunting, I'll drink more when I'm hunting, obviously. This is just on a day-to-day basis. I'll have like a cup of coffee in the morning and then that might be the only liquid I have.
I don't really ever see you drink water, actually. That's a good point. Man, I go through a couple of these like every day.
Yep.
I don't know how much this is.
Yeah, it's not good. I need
this is 34?
That's definitely why when you're 36. Talking about it, 36. I think, man, that's something I definitely need to do better on. Yep. And even when I'm hunting, I'll hunt until I'm basically urinating brown and I'm like, oh, I should drink some water. Yep.
Boy, that's too far.
That's too far.
Oh, there's chunks of kidney in my urine. I should drink some water.
Ugh, okay.
Like 8 kidney stones there. What's
that? Yeah, water's really important. And so definitely don't neglect it. And also if you stay hydrated throughout your life, if you're out hunting and for some reason you're not drinking as much, you'll be better off because mm-hmm. your body's already hydrated. You have that water and fluid in your
or
cells
is it the
already.
Other way around. Your body's so used to being hydrated that it can't not be hydrated and then you die.
That's not what happens.
No, I don't think that's it.
That's Nate's philosophy. That's
it's
wrong.
Worked for me.
Nate's a lizard. He can survive in the desert for months at a time with just a drop of dew.
And if my skin is still silky smooth. Yeah.
Genetics.
No, your skin's rough, but your hands are rough too because you're so dehydrated, so it feels
that's
good.
That's true. There you go.
Gosh, got me.
Well, I talk to a lot of people who don't like drinking water, so what would your advice be for them?
Drink water.
Well, obviously, that's the best case scenario, but if you just hate drinking plain water, what's the best thing you could do?
So for people like that, I would say like there's like water... Well, things like Element, you know, that flavors your water.
Called Hydrate too. It's like just basically water flavoring that has some sodium in it.
Like Mio is another thing that like, so my father-in-law doesn't drink any normal water. He only drinks Mio water. I'm kind of like, for me, I'm like, it feels like it has a lot of dyes and weird stuff in it. But
I always feel like stuff like that, 10 years later, they're going to find out, oh, it causes cancer.
Hey, yeah, it's been on the market for more than 10 years. It's got to be fine.
Oh, exactly. So I think, you know, you can use water flavorings and stuff, and you're still getting the hydration benefit of it. Stay away from, like, caffeinated stuff or carbonated stuff because that will actually have the opposite effect on you.
Carbonated?
I think
I didn't know that.
I guess carbonated Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I know, like, for the sure, biggest thing right now caffeine. Is those bubbles and those.
Well, those aren't carbonated meant to hydrate waters. You, though. Those aren't meant to hydrate.
That's
you.
Literally all my wife will drink, and she's a firm believer that that is hydration.
No, I. Because basically, so basically,
carbonated water.
Things that you when you're drinking water, you can't drink something that's going to take more water to process it than it's going to give it.
Well, that's just CO2, right? For carbonation, does that? I mean, you breathe that out.
Yeah, but well, you don't breathe it out when it's in your stomach.
Well, I'm you do because it goes into your bloodstream.
Whoa.
My microphone got sad. it goes into your bloodstream and then back out your lungs, right?
Don't quote me on the carbonated stuff. The carbonated waters might be okay. I know for sure anything caffeinated is going to dehydrate mm-hmm. you. So like coffee has no hydration.
You mean my cup of coffee in the morning every day isn't hydrating me? What?
I don't know how you get hydrated. Maybe it gets hydrated by the moisture in the air.
I actually absorb it into my skin.
I told you, he's a lizard.
So yeah, that's
draw it in.
Yeah, stay away from all that kind of stuff. Your best bet is just to drink good old fashioned water.
God be like Nate.
It's been here for thousands of years. Just drink the water. It's
recommended.
Yeah, so,
but not purified water.
No, you want the minerals.
If it says purified on it,
yeah, you want the minerals. Not. That's a whole other rabbit trail to go down because
this isn't the hydration podcast.
On the next episode,
everybody's tuned out by now. They're like, "Oh, these guys are just talking about water for 30 minutes." You know, like,
it's just the four of us.
I thought this was a muzzleloader podcast.
Yeah. So, anyways, with this podcast, I anticipated this podcast being
30
like
minutes.
Less than 30 minutes, and it's been an hour. So, like, we've definitely gotten sidetracked, but that's okay. That's okay. I feel like we've covered a lot of good ground here. And, you know, you guys certainly, you listeners, got more than you bargained for sure.
That's right.
Clicking on the preseason show.
That's right.
Got a bunch of hydration and exercise advice. So,
well, hopefully, we'll all be just as chipper postseason wrap up as well.
Right. Hopefully, more so. Hopefully, we'll have some horns in here.
I mean, three of us will be hydrated and Nate will be just parched. But, you know,
my skin might be all wrinkly.
I made it through the season.
Well, I won't have any horns to show. I've got a cow tag.
That's true. Yeah,
if you do, there's some.
I don't know. Get identified as a cow. Does that count?
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for enduring this podcast with us. Really appreciate it. Make sure you leave
enduring.
A comment, like, subscribe on YouTube.
Enduring.
And make sure you leave a review. It really helps us out, especially on iTunes, but it also is helpful on Spotify or whatever platform you're listening on. Just leave us a review. It helps get the show out to more people. And thank you so much. We'll see you on the next episode.